الله، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، so this talk is about the superior morals of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And again, you have the outline of the lecture in your hands. The lecture or the outline is prepared for a 10-hour lecture, but since we only have 40 minutes, then inshallah we'll try to cut it a little shorter. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the best example for humanity. This is something that we hear so often. And as we know that Allah Azza wa Jal chooses his, whomever he was from among his creation, for whatever missions he wants. And the messengers, being the best of the creation, he chooses them for the best of the missions, which is to take the guidance from him to other creatures. That is why the best of the angels are the angels who carry the revelation or the message to the people, and specifically of all of them, Jibreel alayhi salam. And of the human beings, the best are the messengers, the prophets, and of the prophets, the best is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allahu yaslafi min al malaikati rusula wa min al nas, which means Allah chooses from among the angels, messengers, and from among the people. Of those chosen, and the best of them, as we said, is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says of him, Allah says of him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, you verily are of great character. And because of this, because of his higher status in morals and in character, in behavior, to in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen for us to take him as our example. So he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرُ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, which means you indeed have in Allah's messenger an excellent example for those who have hope in Allah and the last day and remember Allah frequently. And of the people other than the messengers, then the best of among them are the ones who are similar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the characters and the qualities that make him eligible for this high status or high standard. And that is the good character, the good morals. That is why he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best among you are those who are best in manners. أحاسنكم أحاسنكم أخلاقا, the best among you are the best in manners. And he also said that the reward for such people is that they will be closest to him on the day of judgment. They'll be closest to him in Jannah. In Jannah, which, because the hadith says, those of you who are best in manners will sit closest to me on the day of judgment. أَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and the sitting in the day of judgment is in Jannah. So it actually means after judgment is over and people enter into Jannah. So the closest in their sitting in Jannah are those who are the best in their manners, in their morals, in their character and behavior. And because of this great value of the superior characters and morals. Rasulullah's main mission was to complete that, to call people to the superior morals, and to complete that in their understanding and in their practices. So that is all what Islam is about, as you heard in the earlier talk by Sheikh Muhammad, and the tafsir that he brought up from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that the khuluqin azim means deenin azim. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ means وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ. That the morals, the superior morals, mean superior religion. So the morals encompass all of the religion. And then he started to explain how that is, but he covered only the first part, which had to do with the morals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will touch briefly on the same thing in a little bit. Islam being comprehensive and encompassing in its guidance, in its directions for people, in showing us what is whatever, everything that is of benefit for them in this life, so that they would follow it, and warning them against everything that is of harm for them in this life, or in the next life, of course, so that they will avoid it. Therefore, Islam would not neglect anything. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, I have not left off anything that would bring you closer to Allah and further from the hellfire, but I have told you about or commanded you to do it. And I have not left anything that would bring you closer to the fire and away from Allah, but I have warned you from, or against. So with that, we realize, we understand that Islam being, or the message of Islam being, a message of completing the superior morals, it does not mean that it is limited to a small range or a subset of the instructions and teachings of the religion. Rather, it encompasses everything that relates to our lives, and all the teachings of Islam are part of the great moral standards of this religion. So the superior morals with which Islam came, with which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, for which he came to complete, that is all of Islam. And that means, as you heard, as I said earlier, the manner of dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also can be dealt with in more detail, as you heard. The manner of dealing with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how to submit ourselves to him in the utmost way that a human being would submit to another human being. And that is by loving him to the more than we love anyone else of the creation. Our parents, our children, our spouses, even ourselves. And in the hadith of Umar, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that when he said, I love you more than everybody except myself, he said, no, Ya Umar. No, Umar. Until I be more beloved to you than yourself. And when Umar radiallahu anhu realized that this is the truth and he said it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Al-ana ya Umar. Now, O Umar, you are saying the truth. So, loving him more than anyone else, lowering the voice in his presence. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى. Those who lower their voices in front of Allah's Messenger, indeed Allah has tested their hearts with taqwa, which means their hearts are filled with taqwa, with piety. And يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Or you who believe, do not put things ahead or forth in front of Allah and His Messenger, which means do not make your decisions supersede or come in front of the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, as Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. No, by your Lord, they will not believe until they arbitrate you in everything that arises or conflict that take place among them. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And then that they do not find any tightness or rejection in themselves against what you decree for them, but rather submit in the fullest way. All of these and other similar things are of the manner with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how to deal with him. And then the other part is, or the third thing is, the morals in dealing with other people, with other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with the animals, even with the resources that Allah gave us on earth. And there are many evidences in the Sunnah in that regard. So when we talk about the moral standards or the moral code of Islam, we do not just mean being truthful or smiling in the face of the people that you meet. This is part of it, but the moral code of Islam is much more complete and much more encompassing. It actually covers the whole message of Islam. And of course, with that understanding, and the Prophet ﷺ being the most conforming human being with the teachings of Islam, therefore, he possessed the highest and most supreme morals. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla described him by what you heard, that وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily you are of great character, you are of great morals. In what follows, I'll mention examples of what we know about the morals of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is specifically in dealing with other people, which is of the third category that of the three categories that we mentioned. Because we mentioned that morals are not dealing only for the dealings between the people among each other, but also between themselves and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, between themselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are the other two parts. One of them has been extensively covered in an earlier lecture, and the other I covered briefly now. But what comes to the minds of people often, or usually when you talk about the morals, is how they deal with other people. And that is what I want to show, how the Prophet ﷺ was exemplary as well in that field as well. Not only by words, but by practical actions. Because by words, you can find so many teachings of the Prophet ﷺ that if we apply in our lives, in dealing with each other, we will have absolutely no problems. We will have absolutely no problems among the Muslims. But we find that we are so far away from applying them. The Prophet ﷺ says, Al-mu'minu akhu al-mu'min. A believer is a brother for another believer. La yazlimu, wa la yuslimu, wa la yakhdiru. He will not oppress him, or be unjust to him, or defeat him, or give him up to his enemies, or submit him to his enemies. Wa la yuslimu, wa la yakhdiru. And so on. But we find that we are the furthest away from applying this in our lives. And it is as if he said, a believer is the enemy of another believer. It is as if he said that. Because we find that when a brother is supposed to be forgiving towards another brother, and unoppressive, fair to him instead of being oppressive, we find that we deal in the opposite way. we find that we are, when we deal with other than our Muslim brothers, we are very kind and very understanding. But when it comes to dealing with our own brothers, we are the most stern. And you would not allow the smallest mistake to come from them. And when we judge them with the harshest manner. And apply to them, if we can, the strongest punishment. We oppress each other, we give up each other to our enemies, we turn our backs to each other, and Rasulullah ﷺ said, "La tadabaru," do not turn your backs upon each other. And he said, "La yaba' ba'dukum ala bay'i ba'd," do not compete over each other in transactions and sales. That is, if somebody is trying to sell something, don't tell him, don't tell, "No, I can give you a better price," or "Give it to me," and so on. We do this in a direct or indirect way with our brothers. So we do all sorts of things that demonstrate that we are not according to what the Prophet ﷺ said when he said, "وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا," be the servants of Allah, be brothers. Be brothers. We are not brothers. If my own brother, my blood brother, made a mistake, we say, "May Allah guide him," and we continue to deal with him and be friendly with him and loving and caring towards him and all that. But when it comes to my Muslim brother, I forget the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to matters of who is in charge and who is the leader and who is the follower, all of us want to be leaders. And anybody who does not want to follow, we are ready to do everything to harm them, boycott them, report them to the police, do this, do that to them. And whoever is not a leader, he is ready to do everything to obstruct the people in leadership from performing their duties. So you see, we have become, and this is, of course, we are talking now about Muslims who are in the Islamic world or who come to the Masajid, and not yet about Muslims who are even further out. So we are in great trouble. Prophet ﷺ says, "Al-Muslim al-Muslimi kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'du ba'da." A believer to a believer is like a building that enforces each other. مثل المسلمين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل الجسد إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى. The example of the believers in their love and mercy and compassion is like one body. When a part of it suffers, the rest of the body calls each other to the help of that part of the body by being awake and by having fever. So we see our brother in trouble, in problem, suffering, but it is like he is from a different world and he has nothing to do with us, we have nothing to do with him. So you see that these are the teachings of our Prophet ﷺ. And if we apply them, we will have no problems in our communities. They are the highest level of teachings of morals among the people. But unfortunately, he did not apply them. We see that he also applied them. He did not only say words, he acted these words. As Aisha radiallahu anha said when she was asked about the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an," his character was the Quran. Which means he acted by the Quran. It was not just mere Quran that he read and that's it, but he acted it. It was not mere words that he said, but he also practiced them. And that is what we have to do. And that is what distinguishes between a strong believer and a weak believer. So we want to work on our iman so that when we learn something, we practice it, we put it into immediate application and remove it from the section of theories in our minds to become practice in our bodies and in our behavior. So, examples of the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the most humble. The most humble was the believers. And as we know that Allah Azza wa Jal says about the believers that they are أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. They are humble and submissive with the believers, and they are tough and hard against the disbelievers. This is a description of the believers. And he says, مُحَمَّدٌ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Muhammad and those who are with him, they are hard against the disbelievers, they are merciful among each other. So that is how he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the example of submission, of lowering his side to the believers. As Allah commanded him, وَصْفِ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Lower your side to whomever follows you of the believers. He said in the hadith reported by Umar radiallahu anhu, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم إنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. He refused to be highly praised in an excessive way like the Christians did for Isa alayhi salam. So he said, do not exalt me like the Christians did to Jesus, son of Mary. I am only a abd, I am only a servant. So say, Abdullah wa Rasul, say, I think I have much more time on this. He said, say, Abdullah wa Rasulullah, say the servant and messenger of Allah. So he did not like the words that raise him above the level of the common people. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said that once a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, إِنَّ لِي إِلَيْكَ حَاجَةً. She said, I have a need for you. I need you to help me with something. And he said, قَالَ اجْلِسِي فِي أَيِّ طَرِيقِ الْمَدِينَةِ شِئْتِ أَجْلِسْ إِلَيْكِ. اجْلِسِي فِي أَيِّ طَرِيقِ الْمَدِينَةِ شِئْتِ أَجْلِسْ إِلَيْكِ. Which means, probably she wanted to tell him, ask him for help or something privately without anybody else listening to what she was saying. So he said, come and let us sit in any of the roads of Al-Madinah and I will sit with you. Now, this shows first, again, his humbleness and his willingness to take out from his time when he was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, the Commander of the Believers, the head of the Islamic State, a very busy person. We take only one and the husband of 9 or more wives. And we take only one of these responsibilities and we say, I have no time for anything else. If somebody asks us for help, we say, I'm sorry. I have no time. I have one wife and that is enough. That's enough work for me. So he had all these responsibilities and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could still give time to a poor woman who needed some help with something of her affairs to go and sit with her and talk to her and see what is her need and then see how he can fulfill it for her. Somebody, of course, here may wonder, what does this mean? That he went and sat with her in a secret place and they had a secret chat and so on. Isn't this haram? And we have to realize that first of all, he told her in a road so that everybody sees. And then we have to understand, and from his seerah, he was always, even he being the messenger of Allah, he always made sure that no doubts, not to allow shaitan to bring any doubts to the hearts of the people in his regard or anybody else's regard that he has control over. And that is why once when Safiya radiallahu anha, his wife, came to him in Ramadan to talk to him when he was in the masjid, then he took her at night to walk with her, to walk her to her house. He was met with some of the Sahaba and they saw him walking with a woman at night. So they tried to avoid him and walk away. He said, wait, look here, this is my wife Safiya. And they said, Subhanallah, Ya Rasulullah. They said, Subhanallah, exalted be Allah, O Allah's Messenger. Could we have doubt about you that you... He said, Inna shaytana yajri min abni Adam majra ad-dami fil uruq. He said, Satan flows in the human being like the devil, like the blood flows in the veins. So he did not want to allow any such thing. So when you hear about this, you have to understand that he sat in a clear place where everybody can see him, and that there were no exchange of looks and touches or anything like that, that some of the weak-hearted people may do or may think that somebody else of the status of the Prophet ﷺ or lesser status of the Sahaba and so on might do. And of course, he is the one who teaches us all these things that we are calling for. Lowering the eyes, keeping our hands to ourselves, and avoiding khulwa and so on and so forth. So we have to understand. Some people say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like a mahram to all women in his time, but this doesn't have any evidence. If this was true, then we would have seen this demonstrated in many actions that he did, which is not, you know, is not true, as you heard in the case of the hadith of Safiya radiallahu anha. But anyways, in such cases, or in the hadith which says, whenever an old woman wanted something from him, she would take him by a hand to wherever he wants, she wants, so that he would fulfill her needs. Which means if she has, you know, if she is poor, if she has little kids, if she has any kind of need that the poor people might have, she would go with her and fulfill that for her, see what he can do to help her. It doesn't mean that he had her hand and they were, you know, squeezing their hands along the way. Because as Aisha radiallahu anha said, his hand never touched the hand of any other woman other than his wife's. So the hadith means that she pulled him or she takes him. That is the meaning of taking, that he puts himself at the service of the poor woman so that she can take her, she can take him wherever she wants so that he can help her with what she needs. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not refuse and reject an invitation. When somebody invited him even to something that to us sounds to be very little, and we would say, if somebody, for example, invited us to, let's say, he says, well, I had these bones, chicken bones, and I made a soup out of them, and I would like to invite you over that soup. I say, what is this? This is an insult. You are insulting me by this invitation. I would never go to such a food. I would never even think of eating such a thing. Why? Because we look to ourselves much higher than what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thoughts of himself in relationship with these worldly matters. We think much higher about ourselves, unfortunately. He said, لَوْ أُهْدِيَ إِلَيَّ كِرَاعٌ لَقَبِلْتُ. If I was given as gift, كِرَاعٌ, which means the bones at the bottom part of the bone, of the legs, which has only the what? Hoof. The hoof. If I was even invited to that, I would. If I was given that as a gift, أو دعيت إليه لأجبت. Or I was invited to eat of that, I would accept the invitation. Anas radiallahu anhu said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعى إلى خبز الشعير والإهانة السنخة. والإهانة السنخة. He was invited to barley bread. And إهالة means like broth that results from the meat, the fat of the meat, or boiling the meat, the broth that results, and when it is old and it starts to be smelly, even when he was invited to such things, فَيُجِيب, he would answer the invitation. فَيُجِيب. When he went for Hajj, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was riding a worn out thing that you put on the camel. So the rahal, or the saddle that you put on the, it is like a saddle, but it's put on the camel. It was rath, which means it was worn out, and he had over him a qatifa, some kind of cloak or clothes that are not worth 4 dirhams. That are not worth 4 dirhams. Like we say now, $4 or $2 or something like that. He would not accept anyone to stand for him. And as Anas also radiallahu anhu said, مَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أو لم يكن أحد أحب إليهم من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يكونوا يقوموا له لما يعرفون من كراهيته لذلك لما يعرفون كراهيته لذلك, which means there was no person more beloved to them than رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and yet they would not stand for him when they saw him because they knew that he hated that. This is an interesting story from Amr ibn al-As, and Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah considers it to be Hassan. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to turn his face, يُقْبِلُ وَجِّهِ وَحَدِيثِ عَلَىٰ أَشَرِّ الْقَوْمِ. Even the worst person in the present, in his audience, he would look face him and talk to him in a very kind way. يتألفهم بذلك, seeking by that to bring their hearts closer. فكان يقبل بوجهه وحديثه عليه. And then he said, Amr ibn al-As, and you know he embraced Islam late in the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he says he was turning his face towards me and talking to me with such a friendly way. حتى ظننت أني خيركم, until I thought myself to be the best person present. You know, the way that the Prophet ﷺ treated him, he thought so highly about himself. So he said, and see, you know, the courage of the Sahaba in relating these things to us. And he says, I asked Rasulullah ﷺ, O Allah's Messenger, أنا خيرٌ أو أبو بكر? Am I better or Abu Bakr? He said, Abu Bakr. He said, okay, I'll try another one. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, ana khayrun am Umar? Am I better than or Umar? He said, no, Umar. He said, ana khayrun am Uthman? Am I better or Uthman? He said, Uthman. فلما سألت رسول الله فصدقني فلوددت أني لم أكن سألته. He said, well, I asked him and he told me the truth. I wished I had not asked him. Anas radiallahu anhu says, خدمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 سنين. I served Allah's messenger for 10 years. فما قال لي أف قط. He never said أف to me. He never complained to me. وما قال لي لشيء صنعته لما صنعته. And he never said to me about something that I did, why did you do it? That is if he did something wrong. Nor did he say for something that I did not do what I was supposed to do, why didn't you do so and so. وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحسن الناس خلقا. And he was, صلى الله عليه وسلم, among the best of people in his manners. Rather, he was the best of people in his manners. عائشة رضي الله عنها said, لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحشا ولا متفحشا ولا صخابا في الأسواق ولا يجزئ بالسيئة ولكن يعفو ويصفح. Which means, Allah's Messenger was not of offensive character, nor did he act offensively. He did not raise his voice in the markets. He did not evenly respond to the harm, but he would pardon and forgive. And also Aisha radiallahu anha said, I never saw Allah's Messenger take revenge when he was wronged. When somebody harmed him, he would not take revenge for himself. As long as that did not involve overstepping Allah's prohibitions. That is the wrong that was done if it did not involve disobeying Allah. When any of Allah's prohibitions were overstepped, he would become more angry for that than anyone else. And never was he given a choice between two matters, but he chose the more comfortable of them, provided that it did not involve sinning. He was the most generous, he was with the most haya or shyness, if this is the correct translation. He was the most courageous among the Sahaba, among his companions. He was the most courageous of them, as many reports indicate, and so on. So he had the best qualities that a human being would possess, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a conclusion, we say the following, that being a true follower of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means following him in everything. If we want to be true followers of him, we should follow him in everything without leaving off any of his characters or acts or practices. And if we wish for a close seat to him in Jannah, then let us imitate him in his morals, in his high level and superior morals. A true believer is, I conclude by this, a true believer is not just like a flower, a good looking flower, but he should be, which means he should not be just performing the worship, the acts of worship as a pious believer, but this should reflect on his dealing with other people, which is the aroma that would reach the other people, the benefit that would reach the other people from him. Rather, one, he should be a flower with a beautiful aroma of high moral standards. So with this I close, and I try to make it brief because of the time limitations. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us all from this and to accept from all of us. هذا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.